Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Dessert. It's a delicacy from the Aerocon system. I think you'll like it.
You know, my stomach is a little unsettled.
You told your grandmother that every time she tried to serve you sober noodles. Now it's one of your favorite foods.
Since you seem to know so much about my past, I think it's only fair that I know a little about yours. Where are you from?
My home world is 30 light years from here. A wonderful place to live, provided you're not born telepathic. The odds are 1 in 50 million. I was among the unlucky few. We're considered a threat to the rest of the population. There's only one solution for people like me, to live out our lives in exile. So we're sent to places like this. To solitude.
Okay. We're going to do things a little differently this week.
What?
I didn't get the memo.
No.
Not that differently. Okay. I just kind of didn't want to start with the whole thing. Welcome to the.
Each week it got progressively.
Do we ever start that way?
Each week it got progressively more and more performative, I think.
Performative, high energy. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's
well, we're always high energy.
Yeah. Wait, you can. Sometimes it's good to reset, you know,
right.
Ease into it.
Dan's
signaling to me that he's a.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
There we go. I wasn't sure.
There's anything wrong with that.
Wasn't sure what it was going to be, but Dan was signaling. It was going to be something.
You're not supposed to let the audience know when I'm signaling. That's the point of signaling.
I know, but I wasn't intending to.
Like in a football game or in baseball when they do the thing with their cap and their hand and their fingers and the grease and all the on the hands and the crotch. They're like the person, the batter isn't like, hey, he's.
You're describing baseball or Michael Jackson?
Or I guess the pitcher's not like, he's signaling me to throw a sinker. He's signaling me to throw a sinker, batter. Hey, batter, the catcher is signaling me to throw a sinker. Mm. He doesn't tell him. That's the whole point of a signal. Yeah. So it's secret.
No, I understand. It was going on a little long, so I was running out of material.
That's what she said.
All right.
Wait a second.
Okay. No, you're telling me. You're telling me to wait. Wait a second. All righty, folks.
This is when he flips it back. Yeah,
we're resetting the energy. We have a bit of a lower energy.
Stuff. That's what she said.
Okay, good.
Sorry, it's like really. It's really, moving between a different soundboards is. Okay. Arduous in this,
yeah, I bet.
Yeah. In this application,
you don't have to tell me, baby.
I imagine it's somewhat difficult for the audience to understand fully what you're talking about.
My soundboard application on my iPad. Last week, I said I referenced it as a laptop. That was a mistake. We need to do a correction from last week. When I said my laptop, I use a laptop for notes, but for sound, it's my iPad.
So we need to do one of those special editions.
Mm-hmm. Errata. It's called errata.
Errata.
Indeed.
Okay, good. So that was sufficiently different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, have you started yet?
Yeah.
Wait.
Let's just go.
Wait.
I'm going to say people don't know what they're listening to.
No,
we're going to get all the core pieces. I just wanted to do it
around here. A little bit different. You never know.
You never know.
At least this episode wasn't as boring as last week's episode.
Is that possible?
Apparently not. last week we discussed Star Trek Voyager's Unforgettable.
Yes.
It was an interesting podcast. I enjoyed the podcast, but it was
I heard it was quite a podcast.
We were a little off our rhythm, I think, because it's sometimes difficult when, as I forget exactly the quote, Dan, but you had some pithy quote about that being the most boring episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, I said it was terminally boring. I said it was I said it was terminally boring.
Terminally boring.
I think that made our podcast a little better, honestly.
Perhaps.
It's fun. It's fun when things like get a little changed up. You change up the beat a little bit, you know, when things are a little different than what you expect.
That's what you're good at.
That's what we're good at.
That's your thing.
That's maybe it's our thing.
Well, maybe, yeah, that too.
You know?
But you help catalyze that.
Yeah. Catalytic conversion.
I'm giving you the chance to experience something you've searched for your entire life.
All right. So we'll go ahead and we'll go through all the things we need to go through.
Last week. Wow. Yeah.
Well, hey, it was a long time ago.
That was a fucking episode, wasn't it? That was something else. Mm.
Okay.
That unforgettable.
Unforgettable.
But this week, we're not discussing
We're
not discussing that episode.
We're not talking about that yet.
No. So first step of course, I want to welcome the audience. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
You'll be happy here. I promise you.
I think, you know, that's a promise we can make.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's legally binding, but...
So many sketchy statements from that guy.
I promise.
Plenty to discuss.
Plenty more, yes.
Plenty to discuss. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm. This is episode 341.
Mm. I was hoping you'd say that.
of that podcast. Not counting
this podcast.
Bonus episodes and Patreon episodes and all that other good stuff that goes on out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're being groovy and low energy. Not the whole episode.
I'm always groovy,
baby. Start out low energy and then we can start out, yeah.
I think that falls under the goes without saying category, sir.
Build it up over time. Yeah, like that They Might Be Giants song, Mrs. Train. I always like train-based songs, and that one really... It hits it right on the head because it's just it's a chugging motion and it gets chugging faster and faster and faster. The song starts going faster and faster. It's a great song.
What the hell's going on?
Okay, so welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast, episode 300.
Now we're really chugging.
341 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Chugging.
During which, over the course of the next number of time units.
Oh, yes. God, just don't.
God. I was trying to write Dan prepare the podcast.
You don't even need to vamp for any reason.
I'm not vamping. You're
just using more words than you need to.
No, because you were talking about, you should play that clip. We were talking about pre-podcast, Dan was talking about time stacks on top of each other. And I was really...
you were trying to stack some time?
Well, you were complaining that Jesse and I were delaying things and you were...
Is this like a super inside joke?
It's not an inside joke.
I'm only going to get it and I'm not going to actually get it. It's just going to irritate me.
No, I just thought it was an evocative moment when you looked at Jesse and you said, Jesse, don't you understand that time stacks on top of each other? You don't get it back.
Well, what does that have to do with you
Did
using...
Did he say you don't get it back?
Something along the way. It was implied.
You were thinking about that? That's why you weren't using the correct word? That's why you're using too many words? Is because you were
Ever since
thinking
you said...
about something? I thought you were using those extra words because you were trying to take up more time.
No.
Because you were trying to stack time and
no.
It was a joke to me. It was supposed to be a callback to something I said
not
that the
purpose.
Audience would have no idea what the fuck it was about.
No. Not on purpose, but that is why I'm providing that additional context that I quite truly and sincerely have been captivated by that image. And just a very brief context, what happened was Dan was doing a lot of preparatory work and Jesse and I were sitting and hanging out. And when Dan finished the preparatory work, as soon as Dan was like, right. Okay, I'm ready
to
go.
We had no idea when he was going to stop.
Well, that doesn't matter. That's not the point.
It doesn't matter. I'll just sit by and wait.
Just to clarify, Dan said, okay, I've concluded my preparatory business. And at that moment, and precisely that moment, Jesse got up and said, like, I'm going to take a piss.
Yeah.
Dan was like, well, why did you piss the last half hour?
Yeah.
And it turned into a whole thing.
And Jesse's
perhaps you had a point.
Well, then,
sir.
Jesse, your whole reasoning was, well, I didn't know when you were going to stop. It's like, well, that doesn't stop you from getting your piss out of the way. You had all this time to get your pee out of the way.
That's another evocative way to put something.
You are right. You are right.
And the thing is
get your piss out of the way.
And you said you didn't know when I was going to start. Were you worried that you were going to pee and then I wasn't going to be ready for another 3 hours and then you'd have to pee again another 3 hours? I mean,
yes.
Come on, man.
I understand what you're saying.
We are men.
You are correct.
We are men of a certain age. Like
I think that falls under the goes without saying category, sir.
Yeah.
A certain age.
She's saying way too many words there in that quote. Hoshi.
Dan's that guy in Amadeus who's like, too many notes.
Right.
The Emperor.
Like a small subset of the audience will get that. Okay.
Yeah.
So this week we're talking about Star Trek Enterprise, the episode, the third season, Zindi Arc episode, Exile.
Beauty and the Beast.
I figured I didn't know what it would be. I figured you might bring in some Beauty and the Beast imagery. I'm curious. I hope I'm not spoiling any surprises.
Be our guest.
Are there any other references?
No.
I'm just gonna put them out there because you could also have some like Hunchback of Notre Dame, but also Highlander.
Highlander.
Because he's like living a long time and gets sad that all these people keep dying.
That's true.
And it's got that Queen song. It's like, who wants to live forever, which is really awesome but sad.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's a good point.
It's pretty Beauty and the Beast-ish until like the last half. Because instead of falling in love with him, she doesn't fall in love with him. And he does that classic mistake that people can do where when they're rejected, the response is to get even more intense.
Mm, yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa, dude, you're freaking me out. I'm going to be even crazier then. Mm-hmm. Please, you got to stay with me. You'll love it. It's going to be great. I promise you'll love it here. Ah!
Good. All right. So again, resetting the energy a little bit. We'll discuss all of that and more.
What are you doing here?
Throughout the course of today's podcast. So we do have a couple things
it's gonna be long
to go over. Probably won't be that long.
It'll be long.
Couple things to go over. I'm on vacation. I'm out of town next week. So
Chief O'Brien
goofed up on the schedule a little bit. Everything's been crazy. We will provide some form of content for you next week. But the next official episode, episode 342 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, will come 2 weeks.
Wait, so we don't
from now.
You haven't been numbering the ones that aren't new, like us live talking,
huh?
You don't
giant talking.
You don't count the ones that we when you play a podcast that's not from the previous Friday. Uh-huh. That doesn't count as a number.
I only count it as a number if it's we're discussing a particular podcast content. Otherwise, it's a bonus episode. Like or general
what
topic.
What about It's Got Pickles? What does that count as?
It's not Star Trek number one. And then it's got Alf is It's Not Star Trek number two.
So what is the what are the other ones where we played like Patreon stuff?
That's just Patreon stuff that we've put on. We've also had Star Trek by the Numbers, which is a great one.
Oh yeah,
that's one of my favorite ones.
So we don't even know how many podcasts we have.
That's what I've said earlier. There's the numbered like
sabotage
core. There's the core podcasts, which is all of us and possibly a guest discussing a specific piece of Star Trek content.
With some extra people.
But then there's like other bonus fun stuff, you know, here and there.
You mustn't do that.
All right. Just a heads up that 2 weeks from now is when our next episode is. But that gives you more time to send us questions, comments, where the hell have I heard that before?
We need more complaints.
Send some complaints.
Yeah.
The problem is if people don't complain, they just won't listen.
Yeah. I know.
It's they're not going to be like, we want this podcast to be better. No, they're just listening to one of the other millions of podcasts.
They're just
these
sensible people who are like, well, it's not for me, so I won't listen anymore. You know, if you don't have don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Anyway, we'll provide holograms. Some content for you.
Holograms.
In the meantime, you can find us some other places. Keep an eye out for me on this week on Trek 360.
In the meantime,
Trek 365, the Trek 365 podcast, TMNT Minute.
In the meantime,
I'm covering a minute, I think 21 maybe, of the TMNT 1990 movie. Fantastic podcast. All of the Trek 365 content is wonderful, but the TMNT minute by minute podcast is wonderful.
Oh yes.
Jesse, it might be on YouTube. Jesse will be presenting the keynote lecture in Geneva at this year's Geographical Union Society. The lecture is titled Fictional Maps I've Drawn All Over My Walls, but I'm totally fine.
It's just a crazy idea.
And Dan will be hosting a class at the Arlington Library on how to best divide time between work, family, and cats.
What?
I'll give you a preview. It's 90% cats.
Those are both very hilarious.
Now, Dan, I know we have My clever ears. My clever ears this year. Jesus, this week year. Felt like a year. My clever ears this week determined, which they often don't, determined that we have at least one duty or no duty.
Indeed.
Now, do we have more than one duty or no duty?
No.
Do we have any other Dan's bits?
Not really.
Well, how about this?
What about Dan can't stand?
Yeah, do we have any Dan can't stands, no. Dan's lists, Dan's...
It's pretty light on the activity this week.
Grinds my gears.
Although, it, for the sound files, this isn't anything worth noting other than I found it interesting.
Okay.
So I divide my sounds into different categories, and one of the categories is like common everyday phrases, you know, how you would respond to things, like, mm-hmm. for example...
What the hell's going on?
You know, it's like that. It's like I can sneak them into conversation instead mm-hmm. of talking. I can play this and it'll express what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have one for like answers to questions like
indeed.
Or like
yes.
Or like
round here? You never know.
Or I might be like
nice try.
Right? But then I also have ones that like to comment on things like this is great. This sucks. And then I'll have them like he sucks. She is cool. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have I suck. I am cool. Mm. You suck. There's a you mm. suck. You are cool. There had to be an extra one this week for things like this.
I'd like you to see this.
It says, I would like you to see this. Mm. Those are hard to categorize because is it an I or is it a you? Mm. Sometimes you can categorize them in a specific category. Like, for example, this one. The problem
that was difficult to
that,
hear.
Well, I was about to say. The problem with that one is that he was whispering and the music was loud. It didn't come through very well.
Is that the category for that difficult to hear clips? I don't know. I'm not an expert on this whole how to segregate sounds thing like you are. So,
okay, what he was saying was, I think you do, right? And I decided, well, I think you do. I will categorize that under you because it's really just saying you do. That's what we're really saying. Mm. We're saying you do. Mm-hmm. Me saying I think you do.
Me saying I think you do.
Me saying
I think you do.
Me say I think you do.
And we can categorize it under you as you do. You do. But if I
you
said...
Do.
Now, just a quick note to the audience.
Do.
I want to make it very clear, just in case anyone gets the wrong impression. Dan is not doing like a 1930s ethnic thing.
Absolutely not.
No. All his linguistic stuff is makes sense. It just makes sense.
Yes.
So you just got to go with
so this
it.
One.
Please, think of what I can offer you.
What I can offer you? Is That's... that I or is that you? You're receiving something. I'm offering something. So it's hard to categorize. And then there's this one.
I don't need you to help me do that.
I don't need you to help me do that. How the fuck What do I do with that?
I think you know exactly what to
so,
do.
So shove it up my ass.
This is the first time this is
well, no, we
come up in like
No, there's often a couple, but there's just a couple and I can kind of shove them at the end. You kind of usually shove them at the very end.
In the miscellaneous.
Because you don't know otherwise.
Right before the negatories, I put them right at the very end. This one I had to make its own color-coded section because there were so many of me to you. You think that me do to you. I don't know what you gave to me. Like, I had to make a whole color section for that this
I
week.
I don't think you're getting enough credit for what you're doing.
It's my...
As a podcast, you need to be, like, somebody, like, needs to be compensating you. Like,
no.
You need to be getting, some Patreon money needs to go, like, straight to you. Like.
Yeah, I agree.
So, what you all have to understand, including you two in the room here, is that when Jesse started that sentence, I really thought he was going to, like, say, I don't think you're getting enough iron or calcium. I thought he was going to go down.
I think you have a deficiency.
There's something wrong with you, Dan.
Some of them things ain't clicking.
Very interesting. Very interesting that you noticed that. Any
Please think of what I can offer you.
Any linguists
That's creepy, Tom.
Out there, amateur or otherwise, write in and let us know if there's some fun terminology around whatever what Dan's talking about with the me, I do you. You do me, I do you. You know? It's like, what is that movie, that Hitchcock movie, Strangers on a Train? Strangers on a Train, where it's like, you know, flip, you know, switch. Also, Throw Mama from the Train, of course.
Like, this one.
I was afraid that might happen.
Snakes on a Plane.
I didn't put that under I. That goes under it, because we are concerned. The concern is what...
The subject
that
of the
it might happen.
Phrase, yeah.
Yeah, we were concerned that it might... The concern is that it might happen. Mm.
It might.
That is the concern.
Yeah.
I've always been concerned that it might happen.
The concern is that it is what could happen.
Now, y'all have doctors.
That's been my biggest concern.
You have 2 weeks to write in and let us know if everything's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, wait.
I already told you. I'm not interested.
Now, that could be like, you were told, or I'm not interested. It's under I for I am not interested. I already told you, I am not interested. That's all that matters, because I am not interested. But some of these, they could go either way.
All right. I propose...
And those ones got their own category.
I propose we shift things up a little bit here.
We killed a few minutes there.
I propose that we do your duty or no duty right now.
Oh, that's crazy.
I would enjoy doing it right now. Because I don't, it's
it,
no,
it keeps the energy.
I don't
going.
Like forgetting it and squeezing it at the end.
Oh, yeah. That is a bummer.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm going to do a duty or no duty. All right. I don't even have an opinion. I caught it in the episode, but I purposely did not rewind it. So I'm going to make a fresh judgment right here when you play this clip. And everyone listening at home, if you're not familiar with duty or no duty, you'll figure this out real quick.
Oh, shit.
Okay. All right, Dan.
All I'm asking is that you consider the possibility.
You know that Enterprise is on an important mission. I just can't abandon my duties. I just can't abandon my duties.
Where you accidentally play too many at once, like an all echoey, terrible.
It's really hard. Because like I do it accidentally with one finger, so I have to do it. I can't do that on purpose, so I have to do it with two fingers, and that's hard.
All right.
What is it? Oh, shit. See, sometimes I do that. And
wait. I just can't abandon my duties. I just can't abandon my duties.
All right. Try one more time.
Oh, God. Kill me.
I just can't abandon my duties.
All right.
If you close your eyes...
Forever.
You begin to sense light and color.
Shady dude.
This is good news.
All right. Last bit of front matter. We do have a voicemail.
These are our messages.
Yeah.
There we go. I didn't have to be like, wait, hold on. Wait, let me play it.
Did we respond to duty or no duty?
Oh, yeah, we did.
Oh, shit. We did ask me to.
Like, we just, that was you fucking teasing me.
You know why?
Good call, Jesse.
Because in my head, it's like so
it's
obvious.
Like, let's keep moving. Move along.
It's so obvious, and the answer was reinforced by Dan's ridiculousness.
My duties.
But yes, absolutely, Jesse, you and I should formally vote. I formally vote for it's a duty.
Yeah. Abandon my duties.
Yeah, I've rarely felt so strongly about a duty.
It was much. It's not a duty.
This is a strong duty.
It's a very strong duty.
I agree.
Hard.
It's a hard duty.
Okay.
All I'm asking is that you consider the possibility.
Now.
You know that Enterprise is on an important mission. I just can't abandon my duties.
It's a hard duty for a soft T. A hard duty for a soft T.
You got it.
Yeah. I don't 100% get the joke, but
because it's a hard duty and the T is soft.
It's a Dan joke.
The T is soft.
Yeah, because duty, it's a soft T, so it's a D.
But I don't.
Soft T. What would you describe people saying duty instead of duty? It's a soft T.
We might have to discuss this.
Would you describe it?
I'm not 100% sure
what
how.
Is it, like crisp T?
I don't know how I want to respond. I don't know the best response that will please you.
I'm not looking for something to please me. I just want you to use your mind and answer the question.
I would very much like to use my mind.
This is your last chance.
But we do need to get. I want to make sure we get this voicemail in before we have to take a break.
You don't have to.
So the messages, the Tuvok. You want to play the Tuvok messages thing just for good measure?
These are our messages.
Great. All right. So we have one voicemail this week from Isaac. Here we go.
Hello. Hottie, Noddy, and beam me up, Scotty.
Hi.
It is Isaac from Trek 365 with another voicemail for you guys. First of all, I'd like to say, yes, Dan, you are onto me. I do give you three names that rhyme. I do them in a particular order. I then change the order and have one that doesn't rhyme because that is the kind of crazy stuff that I diabolically scheme between your episodes to obviously mess with your heads.
I don't
get it. That's what I do, guys. So I wanted to let you...
I'll just pause real quick to provide some context. This is in reference to I think
Dingus.
We were talking about listeners have taken to addressing us with three clever names that are not
Bilana's
our,
on it,
not our normal name.
And Isaac came up with it.
And we were commenting that we recall that Isaac was the first one to do that. And I think Dan maybe was asking about trying to clarify what the
last week I noted that he changed it up even more because he rhymed the first two. Yeah. Or he made up two names, but then he just called Jesse Jesse.
Yeah.
It's because he understands
he like
humor.
He like
and structure.
He like meted his own joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a yes. Another you're providing all sorts
Absolute.
Of evocative new ways to think about things. Time stacking on top of itself and
and
meta-ing things and
you should write a book. No, no.
It's the best part.
Okay. All right. We'll get back to Isaac's voicemail.
Second of all, yes, we do have wallabies in Tasmania.
Now, oh wow, this is a super stoppy voicemail-y time
again. Just to provide some context, because last week,
okay, let's do it.
Isaac had mentioned something about hitting a wallaby with a car, but not.
No, he said we hit a wallaby, but not with our car.
It was a whole thing. Listen to last week's episode; it was very funny. And we were.
This is after you said it was a terrible episode. Like
no.
20 minutes earlier.
The podcast I thought was a good episode.
Oh, I thought you said our podcast.
No, you were like,
I don't know. We were off the rhythm. We were stupid, and we suck. That's what you were saying.
I only heard good things about.
I thought we were off the rhythm.
Yeah,
Natalie said it was.
We were off the rhythm, man. That's the way you say your hip. You're off the rhythm.
I'm not comfortable with the arm motions you're making.
Well, no one has to see him except you.
I have to say that.
It was the royal you. The
oh,
royal
shit.
You.
There's no royal you.
Well, there is now.
Jesse Dan does not consider you a human being. Anyway, he was. We were asking if they had wallabies in Tasmania, because I don't think they have kangaroos, but we weren't sure about wallabies.
Do they have deer?
I don't know. They don't have deer.
So they're not hitting.
You're trying too hard to find them.
But so that's what Isaac is referencing, that they do indeed have wallabies in Tasmania.
They didn't even they didn't
Jack
like
and I didn't fight one, but I do have a little wallaby story. I was once taking my daughter to Orford, which is in the east coast of Tasmania, lovely spot. We should go there. On the way back, it was night time, and I looked down to see what speed I was doing and then looked up and thought I was really close to hitting an old man with a hat crossing the road. But then I looked in the rearview mirror and it wasn't an old man with a hat. It was actually a wallaby that's standing upright, but not as upright as an old man. Like you crunched over, like not as upright as you could go, hottie, scotty and noddy. Anyway, I wanted to share that story. Last week you played a few sound clips that had That's What She Said in it. Yeah. And it made me think of an idea that I've got for your podcast that you could, whenever you've got a Miles O'Brien episode, you could have a That's What the Chief Said as a segment. And I'm sure Miles says a lot of stuff that could be either a single entendre or a double entendre.
If we're lucky.
One to keep up.
I'll pause real quick to note that I love when Miles O'Brien says, Jesus.
Yeah.
Dan laughed. Yeah. I like when Dan gets like a sincere laugh. All right.
Your sleeves, if you don't like the idea, that's okay. I do a podcast and I can do it myself. So either you entertain me or I'll entertain me, I guess, is the message there. Like ever since you guys have done the podcast. I have noticed that Patrick, i.e. Noddy, does say the word context almost weekly in the podcast, but he never says context. One thing to work on, guys, is we don't want the word context. We want the word context. Look, just a bit of criticism. You didn't ask for it, but you get it all the same. And that's
why
it's not
feedback.
It is criticism at itsgotstartrek.com. Love you guys equally. In fact, each one of you I love more equally than the last. I'll see you again for another episode soon. Thank you for having me on, and I hope you enjoyed the voicemail. Back to you, Noddy.
Thanks, Agamus.
Thank you, Isaac, as always.
We did try to do the context joke like after the show was over, but it got tiresome.
It's one of those things that we sort of had to like not do all the time.
Yeah.
Because we kept kind of
there was like a team meeting.
I don't know. I like the imagery of like a wallaby looking like an old man in a hat.
I and even though this was not in fact, in the story that Isaac told, I choose to imagine the story as it was a wallaby, but it was also wearing a hat. It was a wallaby wearing a hat. Mm. So it wasn't an old man wearing a hat.
I think Tasmania seems like an interesting place to visit. I think we should visit.
Yeah, there. We're going to save up our pennies. Yeah. So subscribe.
I'm willing to fly. Like,
it appears to be.
You know, however, you know, it takes like 3 days, 4 days. I don't know. You cross the fucking Pacific Ocean.
We can hitchhike aboard like an oil tanker or something.
Maybe we could just stop somewhere like in Hawaii for a day.
And sure.
Not exactly my idea of shore leave.
All right.
I would love to go over there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So subscribe to our Patreon and we'll
send us money and we'll go to Tasmania.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we got to take a break. And oh my gosh! When we come back,
I gotta take a break for real.
We're gonna discuss this episode of Enterprise.
Yeah, maybe.
Be right back.
Stay with me.
I can't stay here. You know that. I need a minute.
To solitude.
And we're back.
Bring the descent thrusters online.
Set a course.
Indeed.
Descent thrusters, indeed.
Sounds like he says descent thrusters, like it's some sort of fascist or anti-fascist.
Descent thrusters.
The descent.
He does say descent thrusters.
As opposed to descent.
Oh.
Descent as in
descent.
Fighting against the authority.
Is that with like the shuttle pods? Descent thrusters?
I don't know. This is
my instincts tell me otherwise.
I like how the shuttle pods were launched with like that arm.
Yes.
It was super submariney.
Yeah.
I can hear everything you're thinking.
Enterprise, of course, as we've mentioned before, commented before, posited, suggested, asserted before, that one fun thing about Enterprise, there's pluses and minuses, but one fun thing is that the production design, by and large, is peak golden era, whatever you want to call this era, from TNG through Enterprise. They perfected everything. 2000s. This episode's interesting because I think this episode has some truly amazing production design and then also some of the worst special effects, even worse than the Voxala stuff, because remember, Dan, Voxala was similar where some things were amazing and some things were stupid.
Okay, so first of all, this episode was like kind of all over the place. Like on the one hand, you have this like this alien that lives in this weird castle that's inside of a mountain, on top of a mountain,
which looked awesome,
which did look awesome.
It looked like a cool the Isle of Moraine, you know, the you know, that like a version of that, but all awesome.
So you had this whole thing going on, this sort of this medieval looking whatever with candles and all this shit
and lots of plants, but no gardeners.
And then
I didn't notice.
And then you also had this plot, this super future sci-fi plot where they're heading through these anomalies, right? And then I do like the scene where he's bouncing that ball and then it just casually goes and sticks in the wall. He's like, he's like, I assume we're close.
And in the context of the third season, this is the Zindi arc where Enterprise decided to go a little bit more, you know, it was still episodic, but you had this overarching plot. And what was kind of funny is watching this episode out of context, Archer throws his ball into the wall and then these other things happen and Archer's just sort of like kind of mildly aggravated about these terrifying horrible things happening. Of course, when when the ship is damaged, that's different, but at first he's just sort of like, oh
yeah,
god damn it,
right? And then
I love that ball.
Yeah,
that's my Archer impression.
That was a good impression. But then
water polo.
And then they had that crazy fucking effect on the ladder where the ladder like glitched out and went like, and then it like squished and flipped over, which like simultaneously looked awesome but also a little cheesy at the same time.
Yeah. The digital part looked weird, the physical part looked cool.
But the part that was terrible is when the hull blew up.
Yeah.
It blew up in these little goopy blobs.
It was absurd.
It was really fucking horrible. It took me right out of it.
And and it was made worse by the fact that, again, the ship design, the CGI Enterprise model itself is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It has substance. It's better in some cases than some of the more modern CGI. And then you overlay this like bullshit. Like, I don't understand. You complained, Dan, with the Voxala. It was the same deal that the physical cum strings. If you haven't seen Voxala, go watch it. It's the cum episode of Enterprise. It's a good episode. Our podcast is even better.
I was afraid that might happen.
I did that a few weeks ago. The physical cum strings, fantastic. Semen. The digital semen, not good.
Son of a bitch.
loads.
We see a little bit of that going on here.
And it, just the juxtaposition between that and then, like, they're landing on some, like, metal sphere out in space, which super sci-fi and crazy. Mm-hmm. And then the ship goes flying away, and then the ship, like, when it
seemed
back...
Like, it seemed like a silly problem to have. And then, Trip is just like, God, jeepers creepers, I guess we lost the fucking shuttle. Jeepers, I'm such a jackass. And right. Captain's like, you silly old jackass.
Well, Trip was getting on Archer's nerves, because first of all, he fucks up and short circuits one of the thrusters, so it starts zooming away.
It's like, really, the best engineer in Starfleet is going to make that mistake?
And Archer's like, and he's like, I short-circuited the thing. And he's like, you think? And then Archer, he goes, can we launch without a port thruster? And Tucker says, we sure as hell can try. He's like, what the hell kind of answer is that? That's not a fucking answer. Yeah, of course we can try. Fuck you. And then Archer's like, whoever gets the first clear shot. And then Archer fires it. And then Tucker's like, careful, sir. That was awfully close to the O2 recycler. And if you look, Archer kind of shoots him a dirty look.
Fucking told me that before.
Yeah. And then Trip starts shooting, and he's all over the fucking place. He's not anywhere close to Archer, and he's all like, I need to spend more time in the armory. And you see Archer make a face again, just like, ugh.
Archer's like, I should have brought Reed.
Yeah, I know. But then when the ship falls, it like bounces funny. It just goes like, ka-tong,
the gravity, the whole physics of that, didn't make that any interaction sense. Ridiculous.
And they didn't even try to get out of the way. They were just standing.
Now, granted, I to make it clear, this is not even a nitpicky thing. It didn't bother me at all.
No, it didn't bother me.
It was just sort of hilarious.
No, it was absolutely hilarious. It didn't bother me. It just looked ridiculous.
The bad CGI on that bothered me just because it was like, I know you can do better. Like, although to be fair, this is of course the era where they are kind of trapped between, they used to do this physical models and actually like make little explosions, which looked cool. But now in the CGI world, they can make the ship swell, but they, when they're trying to do the explosions, not so good. That comes later.
It appears to be.
What was he saying?
I know. It says, it appears to be.
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 All right. How about this? I just want to make that comment that, you know, the interesting thing about this episode, I agree, Dan, all over the place, which means there's some really cool, interesting stuff, some really amazing production design, some good acting and some good lines, and then some stuff that doesn't make any sense. We'll get into all of that. But why don't we start with the hilariously short opening teaser.
First of all, did you notice that her headband was matched her tank top? It was like the same, like, bright light blue. I don't know which color you call that. It was a light blue.
I don't know. I did not notice.
It matched it. They matched.
I didn't really notice.
It matched.
Good on you.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back and rewatch the episode again.
Yeah.
With that in mind, with that kind of framing in mind.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
What kind of blue?
Right, so
it was a lightish blue.
Opening teaser. I didn't time how long it was.
I call it a cold open.
A cold open. Do you?
We've had this discussion. So
I thought
many
I
times.
Called it a cold open. You called it a teaser.
You see, he's trying to flip it around on you. Like,
oh, are you fucking with me?
No, I'm not.
You're fucking with him.
I might be fucking with myself.
You're trying to fuck with me.
All right.
You will be alone for the rest of your life.
Typically, take turns like making each other squirm. So
turns make me squirm.
Jesse, that's for after the podcast. That's for the Patreon. That's for the OnlyFans.
Oh shit!
It's got Star Trek.
Yeah, the opening is Hoshi, and she goes hello. He goes, do you understand me? I think you do. Can you see me? And she goes, Ensign Sato to security. And then Malcolm goes, go ahead, Hoshi. Is everything all right, Hoshi? And that was the whole thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very short.
I think that was it, right?
I don't know that it's the shortest one ever. I wouldn't even know where to look that up.
Hoshi.
But
Hoshi.
They're just like it's early 2000s, post September 11th. Just timed it. Just got to get in the story. Got to get right to that that famous Star Trek Enterprise opening theme song. And then
which I always skip.
Then we get to go to see Hoshi hanging out with a somewhat discomfortingly discomfortingly blasé Dr. Phlox. When she's all like, all right, so like either some like alien shit's going on or I'm going crazy. And Dr. Phlox is like, man, hallucinating on Denobia is awesome.
Yeah. Right. That's when he says it appears.
I envy people.
That's when he says it appears to be. When she goes, he goes, there's no evidence of any. She's like, the last few days I've had strangest feelings that I'm being watched. I've heard whispering down corridors in my quarters. Could I have been exposed to something that's making me hallucinate? And he's just like, there's no evidence of any. He goes, there's no evidence of any mind altering substance on board. And she's like, so basically this is all my head. He goes, it appears to be.
Which is worse. Which is like, no, it would be nice to know if I ate some fucking like mushrooms or some shit, and that's why. But you're like, no, you're just fucked up. Like, just at a core level.
It's because of how matter of factly he said it. He wasn't trying to like come like with some. And I honestly don't know which is worse, because Malcolm took the route of like, oh well, you're really stressed out. Like, he took this gaslighting right.
But he also took her seriously in the sense that he didn't look.
He's concerned.
In my view, Dr. Flock seems somewhat dismissive. Look, whereas Malcolm was like, I think this is the deal, but no, I'm listening. No, I'm listening and responding.
Okay. This is how Malcolm dealt with it. Like this, he dealt with it in the way of he goes like, you're a little on edge. It's not uncommon to see the enemy out of the corner of your eye. Basically, doing the gaslighting where you say, oh, you must. Let me finish what I'm fucking saying.
All right. I'm just taking issue with the term gaslighting. I think that's a strong term. I think
that's exactly what's happening.
I'll make a comment about the term gaslighting. Okay, well, it's a personal bugaboo.
Okay, well, I'm going to make it anyway. Right. I think that he's saying like, you're stressed out, you're on edge, and I think it's gaslighting when somebody says they see something and or they experience something and the person saying, oh, it must be in your head. You're stressed out. You're this, that, and the other thing. Oh, blah, 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 this, blah, and all that sort of stuff. Okay. And then, so that is one way that he dealt with. He dealt with it in terms of trying to tell her like, oh, well, you didn't actually see anything. You're just imagining stuff. Now, Phlox took a different route. His route wasn't trying to come up with excuses to why she's saying something. She was just basically like, so I'm making shit up in my head. And he was just like, yeah, seems like you're doing that. He didn't try to like sugarcoat it for her or anything like that. I don't know which is worse, because also what Reed also did is, he goes, okay, so she's she's talking to Archer, right? And she goes, I know that my mind can be overactive sometimes, but that's not what's happening. This is real. Mm-hmm. And Archer says, I want you to keep Hoshi under observation until we can sort this out. Post a security detail outside and assign teams to engineering and the armory until further notice. And then Malcolm says, are you expecting an attack, sir? And Archer says, around here, you never know. Mm-hmm. And I think it sounds like Malcolm saying, are you expecting an attack? It's like, no. He's not necessarily expecting it to attack, but Hoshi has just said she saw some intruder. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when Malcolm says, are you expecting an attack? I take that to mean he doesn't believe her. Because if he actually believed her that she saw something, if he believed that she saw something, it would be totally self-evident as to why Archer would be putting security around her door. But he's saying, huh, what's wrong? Why are you putting security around her door? Because really, he doesn't believe her. That's why I think he's gaslighting, because he's trying to he's trying to say it's due to some stress. You're not actually feeling that.
So I don't really disagree with anything you've said. Primarily, I would characterize Malcolm's thing a little bit differently, and I'll say that in a second. Specifically, when it comes to the term gaslighting, I'm only pushing back specifically on the use of that term, because I agree with what you're saying Malcolm's doing. I don't think the term gaslighting applies, because gaslighting, in my view, and I feel strongly about this, because otherwise the meaning is taken away from the word. Gaslighting is when somebody does something on purpose to fuck with somebody. That it comes from the movie Gaslight, where a guy was purposely trying to make his wife think she was insane so that he could steal her money. And that is how the term is used colloquially, when somebody is doing it maliciously. And I don't think Malcolm was being malicious.
No, he wasn't.
I think both he and Phlox, let me make my point now. He and Phlox, I 100% agree with you. They were both being dismissive of Hoshi, and Archer wasn't, because Archer, there's pluses and minuses of Archer, but he is a good captain and absolutely. He trusts Hoshi. He's like, I don't know what the deal with Hoshi is, because he's also having her monitored, because maybe she is crazy. But he's like, as the captain of the ship, I got to take this seriously. Hoshi's not some flaky person. I'm going to take seriously what she says. Now, I don't think that Phlox and Reed didn't take Hoshi seriously, but I agree with you that they fell back on their default beliefs, which is like, Phlox is like, I don't see any medical shit, so it's not medical shit. Reed was like, my scanners, I trust my scanners. So they're both wrong, because Reed Now I hope he's learned his fucking lesson. Hey, just because your scanners don't show like a dude with a gun on the ship doesn't mean there's not an enemy. Like I would like to see an episode where Reed actually becomes paranoid that he made this failure. And he's like, oh my God, I'm going to be worried about psychic. I'm going to develop psychic. I'm going to get some metal to put in the hull.
This is season three. They must have had come across some kind of mysterious telepathic aliens by now yet or not. Probably. Have they not come across? Because it's funny, like in the world of Star Trek, I understand this takes place way early, but you know, you got to expect.
That's like first season.
Like
stuff,
the first thing you should assume is not that they're making it up. Yeah. But okay, but what you're saying about gaslighting, like way I have heard it, and I understand what you're saying. The difference is one is it's a difference of intent is what you're saying. Yeah. I have heard it used like in not just people that I know using it. I have heard it used without malicious intent.
But I personally, and people don't have to agree with me, this is subjective, but I personally, I hope people push back against that with, I like words to have meaning, and when the definition of words broadens out, sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes that's just what society does. But then that actually has the effect of removing the impact of that word. It's sort of like when people call everything Nazis. So then when you have actual Nazis and you're like, oh, those people are Nazis. And you're like, everyone's a Nazi. No, for real. These people are actually, the Nazis are back for real. Like actual bad people. And you're like, no, everyone just says Nazis all the time.
There's
and,
only one Nazi.
And it's like that with gaslighting is I just don't want that term to like lose the impact of describing like evil shitty intent as opposed to ignorant dismissiveness, which maybe we should come up with a different term. Maybe coal burning.
Maybe they no, coal burning.
Fart pooping.
Just being gaslighting meanie style.
Meanies. Don't be meanie style. Guys.
Don't be gaslighting. Meanie
unintentional.
Style.
Unintentional gaslighting. That could, you know, something like that. A modified modifier there.
I'm afraid that's not appropriate.
I apologize. I'm a nerd about that. I agree though that there is that like hierarchy of these two colleagues. They're like, well, you know, we don't think you're, you know. We're not going to be helpful. Basically, neither of them were helpful. Yeah. And it was kind of weird, especially Phlox. You'd think Phlox would be like Archer. Clearly, there's something wrong, and I haven't found the evidence. Other episodes, like, Phlox would spend all episode trying to figure out what's going on, like, what's causing, like, a fucking crew member that he knows very well is like, oh, yeah, there's, like, this guy, there's this like this white guy keeps showing up and he seems to think he's sexy. He's not sexy, like, but he seems to think he's sexy.
He's trying too hard. Yeah.
So I kind of dug when Phlox was saying the hallucination thing.
I did like that as a cultural thing.
Yeah, as like a sort of like anything that you think is just a given and a truth, you can take another culture and totally upend the whole thing. Because he says when on Denobula, when a person under stress hallucinates, it's considered healthy because it's a harmless way for the subconscious to release nervous energy. And he says, I've always envied the people who had the ability. So here in our culture, we think, oh no, it means we're going crazy and we're losing our mind. And then their culture is just like, yeah, we all get stressed out, but this is a good way like to get that energy out, you know? And so like I like that spin on it.
I agree. And there's a real world example, which is that people can develop schizophrenia anywhere in the world, but in the West, in Western nations, schizophrenic hallucinations often take, not always, but often take a negative or malicious or menacing tone. Mm-hmm. But schizophrenic hallucinations in other cultures often take a benign or playful thing. And that seems to be culturally mediated. It's not genetic or anything. It's just, you know, it depends where you grow up and how you view.
Like in India or something.
Hearing voices. Yeah, Africa and things like that. Oh, and another thing, I didn't even think about this until you just mentioned that, Dan. But the point about Phlox is mirrored in some ways with the setup of this guy. What's the guy's name? The tentacle guy? Do we know?
Tarquin.
Tarquin.
Because he
has that. I've never heard. I think this was the first time I'd heard of the sci-fi idea of the person with telepathy is considered bad.
Right. I thought
that's interesting.
Because he goes, unlucky me or whatever.
And the thing is like, I've seen this episode a bunch of times. It's been a while. The whole time I was watching it, I kept trying to remember. I was like, I know this guy is like hiding some stuff. And I was like, was he lying about why he was exiled. And I remember the first time I saw this when it aired, the whole episode, I was like, oh, he's lying. He was exiled not because he's telepathic, but for some other reason. As it turns out, no. It seems that he was telling the truth about that. So there is some sympathy, even though the guy is otherwise creepy.
I wasn't so clear as to why... If they put all the telepaths in this one place and he just happened to be the only one left, or if they specifically separated them, and why couldn't they just let him at least hang out together?
I
were they too powerful or something?
I don't know because
that just seems cruel.
The implication, I took it as they purposefully make them be isolated.
They purposely put them in this big creepy.
But it's sort of like you said. Why not just put all the telepaths together? I agree with you. Yeah. So,
in like that expanse
but
region.
That's why you start thinking like, oh, maybe this guy is like a shady asshole.
But I wanted.
And that's why they put him on a secret planet.
One more thing about the hallucination thing. What Malcolm was saying. What he was saying is the reason like he thought that she might be hallucinating. He was like, just the other night, I thought I heard some clicking of the Zindi, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's like the difference is that he realized right away that was all in his head. Like he thought he heard clicking. And he's like, oh shit, I just heard that shit.
Yeah. He just has like PTSD.
But the thing is Hoshi like never stopped believing that she saw this thing.
Yeah.
That should tell you something. I don't think it's normal. Like people, it's like a plot device in shows for people to say like, it's like, oh, there's always, people in shows are always having like, repressed memories when they were five that they just can't remember that they suddenly surfaced.
Another
plot
device.
Yeah.
And which in real life has resulted in people going to jail for made up nonsense.
Yeah, right. And so this is another one though that happens where they talk about like people like randomly hallucinating shit. And like, I understand that if you're really sleep deprived, you can hallucinate.
Like out of the corner of your eye versus seeing a guy in front of
you. And the thing is when you hallucinate, you realize almost immediately that it wasn't real.
Yeah.
And Hoshi continues to believe that it's real. So that should be your first clue that it's not some bullshit because people don't just hallucinate and then keep thinking it's real for days.
And a quick note to the audience, just so you know, we have yet to cover the Deep Space Nine episode Far Beyond the Stars. And
what do you mean?
I mentioned that because some people right now might be wondering, why isn't Dan playing a sound clip of Sisko saying, it's real?
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it.
One day we'll be able to play that sound clip, but we have not yet covered that.
This is irrelevant.
Truly excellent episode of Star Trek.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
Deep Space Nine. All right. I just wanted to clarify that.
No, I
it's a programming
that.
Note.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we did the one where it's a fake.
Yes, we have done the it's a fake. It's a fake. Oh, man.
You can't do this.
Great episode.
You can't do this on Nintendo.
Because I'm looking at it in my notes and I want to make sure we don't forget it. Linda Park does a great job in this episode. I always really enjoyed her. She's a wonderful actor. And while this is not like the most amazing episode in terms of like the plot, what does work works because of her in a large part.
Yeah, and I will say definitely not boring.
No,
not boring. There's always something kind of going on. Like
even if it's just confusing and weird.
I know, like them landing,
interesting visual,
like them landing on that fucking sphere, like kind of blew my mind a little bit. Like I was just like, this is so crazy.
I liked how intense they were like making that when they were like flying. Like they're like, we still can't see it, and like they're like, and like T'Pol's all like blah blah blah, and they're all like, oh, and they're like everyone's tense, but like what you're seeing on screen is just like the shuttle pod just flying through space. And the music's all like
I was confused.
Like, okay.
I was confused by that map at the beginning. They had that map. It was showing the coordinates where that vessel from the other episode, I guess it was affected. And then the Archer was talking about how it was random. So he was talking about spatial anomalies, which were the coordinates. Like the spatial, it showed all these.
It was the coordinates of
all the spheres.
Spatial anomalies that they had encountered
that were affecting the ship,
and they were trying. T'Pol was like using that to triangulate where the source was.
But she was like, "These are the spatial anomalies, and these were the ships that were affected." But I only saw one set of dots.
I'm not going to in any way vouch for the actual map.
I
did understand the intent.
No, I did.
If you plot these things in theory, maybe we can figure out where the source is.
I was looking at it. What the deal was. Is the one sphere by itself was able to go through each, you do a straight line that touched all the things.
Hey,
so you only needed
in that map at the end where it was like the 50 spheres or whatever.
At the beginning. Okay. I didn't even bother trying to figure that one out. But the one at the beginning, you only needed one sphere to go through each one in a straight line.
Ooh.
But what the second one did, which I'm guessing why she said it implies a second, because the second one was also able to go through all the dots. Both angles were able to go through all the dots in one line. And so like, even though you could go through it all with one, I guess the deal was, is, well, you can take two. Like, because there's probably not a third one that can go through all the dots in one line.
Dan
either.
Is trying to illustrate this with his fingers. Yeah.
That's that thing about, like, you go through the points and all in one line. It's called, like, the Königsberg.
Is it?
Something or other.
Is it? I'm sure there's a name for it.
Yeah, it's something like that. That's a different podcast.
Königsberg something.
Which is now Kaliningrad.
Yeah, I'm doing the
it's
thing.
It's got maps.
I'm doing the thing where I'm spreading my fingers, I'm splaying my fingers, and I'm making them go sideways like the maps thing.
He's splayed his fingers in each hand, and then he's put his hands perpendicularly to each other.
Yeah. I'm making some kind of gang sign,
which I'd like to think illustrates his point.
Yeah. Anyways, I thought it was neat. Just because it like who knows what it really meant, but it was cool. It's like they took some time to make some dots and then make them and then. But they basically did is they did two perpendicular lines and then just drew dots in such a way that they were on both lines. But it was cool. It was a cool graphic to look at because it's like look, all these go through and then both of these go through. It's fun. It's fun when cool little map graphics like do
things. It's nice, you know. Even though I'm nostalgic for the older movies, it is always funny when you're watching like Blade Runner, Star Trek II, or Alien. Is all like is like these weird old ridiculous technology.
Anyway, you're talking about.
I was talking about Linda Park being great, but I also wanted to comment on you know because you're talking about the hallucinations and stuff. I like that the guy is all like, in her head, he's all like, don't be frightened. I'm just going to do some like super frightening shit.
I know.
Don't be frightened about it.
That was
like before he revealed himself to be like a super creep. Even though everyone, it was clear he was a super creep. I think that's one of the problems.
No one knows me no one knows you like I did.
One of the problems I think a lot of people, I think justifiably have with this episode is because it's so all over the place, it's unclear what like the message is. Yeah. And the thing is like, am I supposed to be sympathetic to this guy? Why would I believe that Hoshi, Archer, anybody would agree to this plan of like, this guy totally like lied to you?
Archer's really worried the whole time. He's all like, you know, you got your pistol on you. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna keep it under my pillow. Well, it's like, you're gonna give us a call, right? Give us a call.
The guy catfished them because the guy was all like, I look like this kind of bland white dude, and then they land is like, actually, I'm a tentacle monster. You know, not that, you know,
he's just like an Andorian with more antennas.
No, I thought he was, there was anything wrong with him, but that's why it was funny.
I thought it was
like immediately you're like, you're lying to us. This is shady.
Right.
You're a shady person.
I thought it was interesting that Hoshi seemed like visibly repulsed by him, but it's like, they've seen other aliens and stuff, but they made him extra alien tentacly, I guess. So like I had that too, where it's like, you know, if you're, when someone's like lurking in the shadows and like making the monitors all zap and show like all show an image of a camera, like as if a camera was pointed at your face, like your face is on all the monitors, and then you said don't be frightened,
and then
oh you're not frightened, you're getting frightened, I know it'll calm you down, I will make you warp over to this like random mountain place you've never been before, such a way that the doors are going to be in front of you and you're going to try to open the doors and you're going to nearly fall off a cliff in a really windy snowy place. Don't be frightened,
but with very good production design.
I mean, he was sort of appearing in the shadows human-like, and then when he wasn't a human, I guess you could see how she would have been like surprised because she thought he was going to be kind of human-y.
Yeah, and so there was that, don't be frightened. There was the one I mentioned earlier when he was, you know, trying to like, you know, if you're like all intense with someone and you're freaking them out, you know, like the answer is not to be more intense, you know?
Which is another critique I've long had about this episode since it first aired, which is in order to make the plot, they had to set it up the way they set it up. But realistically, you're like, all right, you live for like 400 years and you haven't like figured out a better way to manipulate people, right? You've got psychic powers and you can like, I'm not saying I don't want him to do that. I'm just saying I don't understand how he would not. Is he just like dumb? Like why?
Yeah, because
he likes reads books and stuff. Like why wouldn't he figure out? Oh, you know what? Here, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar.
That's the thing about like beings that live like forever. Like as far as we're concerned, like they don't have any concept of that. Like we have
Jesse's speaking from experience.
We have a finite lifespan.
I know from experience, dude.
And so we have to have like this thing where like there's a, you know, like there's an arc, and we like try to learn things and figure shit out.
Yeah,
like these people that like these beings that live for centuries. They don't care. They don't have. They're just living.
I'm not comfortable with the way Jesse's saying like these beings.
They're just beings.
Those beings.
You know, long-lived being entities. Those elves and long-lived whatever the fuck.
It's a new slur. Long-liveds.
Yeah. He's going about it all wrong because. He thinks that the more desperate he sounds,
like, here's how I would manipulate a woman.
He thinks that the more desperate he sounds, the better chance he has at like keeping her around. Like every time she gets weirded out by him reading her mind, he somehow takes that to mean that he has to keep doing it, but more intensely.
Right.
He goes like, "I'm sorry, I know this must be overwhelming, you know, and it sure is, but not for the reason he thinks.
If you don't date me, I'm going to kill myself."
He thinks it's like overwhelming because like he's so psychic and can read her mind, but she's overwhelmed by his desperation. Not she's by like, psychic ability.
She's like, I have to deal with this every Friday at movie night.
Yeah.
He was
There's
like,
always one.
It's
he was
really
like, this place is full of interesting things or something. Like check all the weird stuff in my house.
It's filled with a bunch of plants, no gardeners, and like three books. All right. We do have to take a break. And when we get back, we'll do Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? And then a bunch more conversation about Exile. Be right back.
We're taking a slight detour.
We'll be back for you as soon as we can.
As soon as we can, you will be. You will be.
Hey, everyone, we're back.
Hello?
Get to work.
This is the last time.
Get to work. It was really intense.
Get to work.
Get to work.
You okay. Get to work.
All right.
That's where I'm waiting for you.
So,
that's where I'm waiting for you.
I think there's still a few important things to discuss about this episode, but I did want to get where the hell have I heard that before?
Oh, okay.
Out of the way. I mean, we've got a lot of guesses this week. We can go through it pretty quick, but a lot of guesses got sent in.
Okay.
Dan, before I start, did you have a comment or?
Oh, I was just going to talk more about Tarquin and Hoshi.
Right, let's hold off on that because I'm looking forward to that. Tarquin. That's Tarquin is the Star Wars
Tarquin.
Fella, right?
Yeah.
Maybe this is Tarquin. There's probably some literary reference that I'm missing.
Yeah,
there.
I think there is.
Okay, so this week's and last week's Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? Our weekly game that we play here on the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Whatever it is,
we play
it's not uncommon.
It is not uncommon for us to play. We play it every week.
Seems pretty random.
Dan's making me trip over my own words here.
May I?
We play a clip from somewhere in the Star Trek universe, at least that universe for which there are clips, which is TV shows, movies, and the Con podcast, as it happens.
I think you're familiar with it.
We haven't figured out how to make this work with comic books or novels.
No.
I didn't want to frighten you.
But we play an audio clip, and you, the listener, then send in your guesses, hopefully multiple listeners, and we see if anybody gets it right, and everyone's super excited about this. It's a fun...
I don't want you watching me.
It's a fun thing, yeah.
They love it.
I mean, it's funny because she said that, and it's like, you're watching, you're like, okay, yeah, I get it, but then you watch it again, you're like, Jesus, I mean, what a creepy motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's not like, that's like early in the episode,
and
too.
And she says it all, she says it all calmly because I think she knows that it's just like commonplace at that point.
Well, honestly.
He's like, okay, sorry.
I mean, I'm not saying that the problem has gone away at all, but.
I'm sorry.
You watch older media and it reminds you that it's said so blasé-ly because it's just, they know the audience will understand this is just something that contemporary, particularly women, but people will deal with. Creepy, stalkerish, horrible, telepathic people interfering with their lives. It was a big problem in the post September 11th world. Not to get political. Okay.
I'm afraid that's not appropriate.
Where the hell have I heard that before? I'll play last week's clip and then we'll go over the very many guesses that were sent in. Okay. This is last week's clip.
Scotty, beam us up fast.
All right. That was a short clip. For folks who haven't been following along the last
strange.
Few weeks, it was also, I've been playing a lot of somebody Kirk. Saying, beam me up. Oh, Kirk, you think it's Kirk?
You think it's Kirk, Jesse? Do you think it's Kirk?
Well, it's, Kirk? I'm just saying it's usually
the previous.
The anomalies are stronger here.
Couple of weeks.
The previous 2 or 3 weeks has definitely been Kirk. We'll see about this week.
Well, okay.
All right, let's go through the guesses. First, we have an email guess from Emmanuel. He sent it to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com.
All right,
that's the email you can reach us at. Emmanuel says, "Ahoy, Dorothy, Blanche, and Rose.
Hey, yeah,
Golden Girls.
Hi,
I love the Golden Girls."
I'm Rose.
Yeah, my grandma from Dayton, Ohio. She was a nice, conservative, old church-going lady, real nice. And her favorite show was The Golden Girls. She just liked sitting down there watching all these old ladies talking about fucking effing and jeffing and fucking.
It was quite a show.
Smoking weed and hanging out in Miami.
Listening to your thoughts has been very pleasurable.
Okay. Dan signaling that I should continue the email.
I like listening to your thoughts.
Emmanuel says,
I don't know how you took that from it.
Today's installment of Where Have I Heard This Imups is not Captain Kirk. It's actually Dr. Janice Lester from the TOS episode Turnabout Intruder. That's the one where
that's not possible.
They do some squishy witchies. That's like the, you know, that movie with the lady and the other lady, you know, the Freaky Friday. Freakier Friday.
Yeah, right.
The episode. That episode.
I think so.
The episode was about how women were too emotional to be starship captains or something. Yeah, that was one of those weird TOS episodes where you're like, what exactly were they saying? Nice try, Patrick.
That's strange.
But I see through your web of lies. Say hi to Clemmy the dog for me. She looks awesome. He's referencing my dog is named Clementine H. Fandingo. Clementine H. Fandingo.
Did you put a picture of her up?
Clemmy for short. There's a picture of I think me hugging Clemmy on the website.
Clem Fandango.
And there's a picture of you and Jesse like talking into microphones, looking all serious. You're looking like you're being all like, I'm making a point.
Yeah. This is great.
They're very old photos. We should update our
I
photos.
Look so much cooler
we
now.
Yeah.
We
you
all
do.
Look way cooler. Blah, blah, blah. Say hi to Clemmy the dog for me. She looks awesome. Your Australian pal, one of them, Emmanuel's one of our Australian pals.
Is that possible?
Emmanuel. All right. So Dan is going to.
Thanks, Agamus.
And then he goes on to say, you're welcome, Danimus. clever.
Well done.
Clever.
Well done,
clever.
Sir.
He knew you were going to say thanks, Agamemnon.
Wow, that's tricky. How'd he do that?
He said, you're welcome, Danimus.
B'Elanna's on it.
Oh. Sidebar. B'Elanna was indeed on it because Roxanne Dawson directed this episode.
Yeah, she's the director.
Exile. She directed a lot of Star Trek. Roxanne Dawson, a.k.a. B'Elanna Torres. Roxanne Dawson, like Frakes and Robert Duncan McNeil, went on to have really, really excellent careers as directors. They're all three of them are directing high profile shows to this day. Robert Duncan McNeil was a big producer, et cetera, on Resident Alien, for example. But Roxanne Dawson, again, sidebar, I think excellently directed episode. Ups and downs, weird stuff with the writing and the plot, but the actual direction, I thought interesting camera moves. She knows how to work with the actors. Everyone felt engaged, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, except for the bouncing shuttlecraft.
So people are starting to get that I play.
Thanks, Agamus.
When at the end of their even, people are starting to figure out that that's the thing that I sometimes do.
People like you do.
I don't. Okay, so Dan has a shit eating grin on his face.
It's not a shit eating grin.
It's a shit eating grin. It's a well deserved shit eating grin because he knows full well that people have figured this out long ago because you always play Thanks,
what?
Agamus. And in fact, you have complained that people did not seem to be acknowledging the fact by what was it you said that people weren't leaving an appropriate amount of space or something in...
That was for
high.
That's for high.
Oh, okay.
That's
from
they
like,
still don't.
That's from like Lower Decks, like several seasons, like an earlier season. Yeah. Like,
how do you make
like
sense of all that?
Several years ago.
We've been doing this podcast for like, yeah, 7 years.
You've been doing
it
like a long time.
Long time.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you, Emmanuel. So Emmanuel guesses Turnabout Intruder. Okay. Next, Amy, regular contributor to this, Amy writes via email, I think this week's WTHHIHTB is from the TOS episode, The Savage Curtain.
Mm. Ooh.
As a kindergarten teacher and a mother of three, okay, Amy is referencing a comment I made last week about tuning out, you tune out like your kids' voices, like your brain like knows what a bad sound is, and then like the rest, like your kid can be like yelling right behind your ear and you just don't notice, and other people will be like, don't you notice your kid's like screaming in your ear?
There's a lot of bop, bop,
Amy
bop, bop,
says, as a kindergarten teacher and a mother of three, I would also like to confirm that, yes, caretakers of small children very often do possess the ability to ignore the sounds of shenanigans, which is exactly why I now need to go back and re-listen to this week's It's Got Star Trek episode. You guys pushed my selective listening to its upper limit this week. thanks, Amy. Yeah.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
Last week's episode, Voyager's Unforgettable, it was a... to be clear, I think it was a good episode of the podcast, but it was a weird episode of the podcast.
It was weird.
Because we were like having trouble dealing with that episode.
Yeah, it
was. For a variety of reasons.
It was problematic.
All right. Thanks, Amy. So Amy says the Savage Curtain. Let's continue on. Christina from Facebook writes in, I honestly have no idea about the clip this week, except that I'm sure it's from TOS. So that now makes me think it must be from TAS, due to Patrick Shenanigans.
Sabotage.
I'm guessing randomly, so I'll say it's from Beyond the Farthest Star. Mainly, I just want to feel a part of the fun. P.S., I love your show. You give us so much needed distraction every week. Thank you.
Right. Thanks, Agamemnon.
So Christina's convinced it's from TOS, and as a result, because apparently the sound clips that we've played that are often a little bit of a trickiness to them, it makes her want to suggest a TAS or the animated series episode.
We're dangerous. So
she has guessed Beyond the Farthest Star.
We are dangerous.
Now, Jeremy sent in the following on Facebook. Submitted a guess last week. He said, last week I guessed the Savage Curtain from TOS, but it turned out to be the Gamesters of Triskelion.
Gamestars of Triskelion.
So this week I will double down and guess the Savage Curtain again. I know it's probably going to
be... You can't do this.
I know it's probably going to be the Cloud Minders or something else, but I've put my chip down, and that's all there is to it. Thanks for stressing me out with this quote-unquote fun game each week.
I suppose you believe you're dealing badly with stress.
All right, and submitter this week...
Oh, wait a second.
Thanks, Agamemnon! I should now have to pick a different thanks. I should maybe I should retire this thanks and come to a new thanks.
The psychology of your sound work is just utterly fascinating. And I think it's wonderful that Jesse and I and the rest of the audience get to experience it, sort of the evolution of it, over the years. And it will, our podcast will serve as,
part of my life.
At the minimum, a historical record and potentially a medically relevant information, over the course of a number of years.
Thanks.
So, I love this person's name. This was an email, and their email was sillybunt007, which I don't know how many of you know. This is a very deep cut. It's a Monty Python audio sketch about a guy who has a verbal tic where he can't say the letter C, so he replaces it with B. And the punchline is that he at the end of the thing, you know, he's saying like bats, and they're like cats or bats. Is that at the punchline at the end? Is he refers to himself as a silly bunt because it's a silly cunt?
Yeah, I think.
And I'm saying cunt in the Australian sense, not in the U.S. sense. Just to clarify,
or the British sense.
Yeah, the British sense I think is cool. The Australian sense.
I was foolish to think it was even a possibility.
All the fun places. Silly Bunt. Oh, by the way, I wish I could say what it was. Silly Bunt emailed us from a hilariously old email service that I won't reveal to dox them. But anyway, here's their guess. Ahoy, gents. It's obviously from TOS, which means, in fact, it will actually be from TAS, which is similar
another
logic,
person.
Which means, in fact, it will be from Spaceballs or perhaps Pulp Fiction or Seinfeld.
I don't get it.
You think we don't know your tricks, Patrick, and you would be partially right. I will stand my ground and guess something from TOS. Let's go with the Gamesters of Triskelion.
Gamestars of Triskelion.
As I think Kirk tries to beam up twice in that episode, and I also... And I also want Dan to go on about the Gamestars of Triskelion again, because it makes me feel better about this awful, awful world. Looking forward to being wrong.
Sorry about that.
Thanks.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
That was my favorite, because he was like, called Dan. He was like, knew Dan was going to do the whole Gamestars of Triskelion or whatever. And again, we did the Gamesters of Triskelion episode. I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Search on the website.
Not that long ago.
And you can hear Dan make that same joke. Over.
I'm not joking, Lee.
Over. And he might even make that joke for the next couple weeks after that. So go listen. Let us know.
Well done.
Okay. So that's all the guesses. Before I reveal if and who the winner is, Dan or Jesse, do you have any guesses where that audio clip comes from? That, you
know, what was it again?
It was like, beam us up fast,
oh,
Scotty.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. It's from TOS.
Yeah, whatever, man.
You're on the TOS train. TOS.
All right. Whatever the fuck. It's somebody.
It's a tie this week. We're going to give it to both Amy and Jeremy because it was from The Savage Curtain.
Oh, my gosh.
It's that late season 3 episode with Abraham Lincoln and a bit of a dodgy Genghis Khan.
Dodgy Khan.
Savage Curtain. Good job.
Incredible.
You stood your ground. Good guess. And the funny thing is Jeremy guessed The Savage Curtain last week, but I had already had this set up as like the next one. It was going to be The Savage Curtain, so it was kind of funny that we was guessing it for last week's sound, which was another TOS sound. Okay.
Did I thank the last person?
I don't know, but if you want to do it again for a good measure.
Again, bitch.
Thanks, Agamus.
All right. Good. And so now we'll play the clip, this week's clip. And again, you have 2 weeks. 2 weeks to guess this clip. Get us the guesses in by.
Oh shit!
Like
2 weeks from now.
Yeah. Thursday. Sorry. Thursday, June 4th. I guess would make sense. Yeah, June 4th. Get us the guesses by June 4th. You know, it's a little extra hard maybe this week, maybe extra easy. I don't know. The main thing is that this clip was suggested by Emmanuel.
Nice try.
And we encourage listeners, if you have a clip you think would be fun for this game that might be tricky for your colleagues out
tricky
there,
for your dicky,
your Star Trek friends out there to guess, send us either a clip or a time code. Keep it to like 10, 15 seconds or less. Like under
keep
10.
It quickie.
It's kind of good. 10 is a good maximum for the clip there. Send that to us. And we will put it in a pile for consideration. All right. So the clip.
This is real.
Okay.
For real.
The clip, the actual clip for next week is this. I'm going to play it twice. So here's the first run through.
Julian, you're doing up this early.
You've been working for 16 hours straight. I thought you could do with some sandwiches.
It's very thoughtful.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Truer words were never spoken.
Suggested by Emmanuel.
All right. And switching it up. We're finally getting away from like Kirk.
All right.
Finally. So here we go. One more play. I'm doing this on account of you people who don't want to click the rewind button on the podcast player. All right. Here we go.
Julian, you're doing up this early.
You've been working for 16 hours straight. I thought you could do with some sandwiches.
It's very thoughtful.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
Truer words were never spoken.
They don't hit the people don't rewind anymore. They jump back.
Isn't that like a hip hop lyric?
Jump back, like an old
hip hop lyric.
No, you hit the button that jumps back 5 or 10 seconds.
There's a good song. The song "Word Up" by Cam.
Word Up.
It's got LeVar Burton in it.
Yeah,
and I think it's pre. I think it's pre.
You're lying, Hoshi.
Pre TNG, like we're same year. You know, he's like, LeVar Burton's like a policeman. He's like a detective, and he's all like, "Yo, Cameo. You don't start dancing and don't start singing Word Up." And then Cameo's like, you know what?
Word up.
That's what I thought until I ran a vector analysis.
Okay. Send in your guesses. That's been where the hell have you, you know, whatever.
Word up.
Yeah. All right. Back to, is it back to you, Dan? Yes, man. Yeah. You were going to make a point about Tarquin and Hoshi. And Hoshi's like chilling on bed, like reading some books.
Oh, well, it's going to be hard to segue back into this.
Why is it going to be difficult?
Well, we're just like jumping back into it.
Well, I just gave you the perfect segue.
Or Tarquin.
Yeah. I can be the one who I'm sacrificing myself. It's like, oh, okay. Patrick don't know what the fuck he's doing. He's just like forcing it in there. And then Dan can be like, well, Dan's picking up the pieces.
All right. I'll see if I can.
The professional job.
And see if I can salvage this mess you've made.
This guy, we're talking about Dan Glaubitz. He used to work for Ron and Fez.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah. The professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
WJFK.
Yeah.
DC, 106.7. Yeah. WJFK.
Did we do like a bobbin for something? Didn't we do bobbin for something? It was like a bobbin for something.
Oh, yeah. We were bobbin for something.
I wasn't bobbin. You were on the staff and I was like a ringer.
Yeah. You were a ringer.
Dan called me up. He's like, hey, you need to come down to the station.
Yeah.
And the best part is, I was like, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I didn't ask for one reason. And I show up and Dan's like, all right, we're going to do this like bobbin for Apple's thing. And like, I need
you to like Bob for having.
Yeah, because they called it. They had all these people contestants come in, and then like
you don't want actual people off the street. But pro tip: if you ever have a radio show and you do those live games, the gag is like when you tell people to come off the street. No. You don't like anybody who's gonna do that. That's not the person you want. So you got to get cool people who aren't going to be the thing crazy.
It's out in Fairfax.
The thing is,
right?
most of them were like random callers, yeah. And you were the ringer. Yeah. And at one point, Giant Brian, the producer, because you were like,
that's a classic early 2000s drive time radio DJ name.
You were in the call screen.
Giant Brian.
You were in the call screen room, and we were chatting. And he was like, you know, we should at least try to like pretend that you're not a ringer. So you should probably go sit in the green room with everybody else. Yeah. They might start getting suspicious.
I was like, you can't tell me what to do. And I blew some weed smoke in his face.
And he was like, oh, shit.
He just had to sit there grooving.
I was probably like, okay, sir, whatever you say, sir.
You're lying. Just like Tarquin told Hoshi that she was lying.
Yeah. Segway.
So Tarquin was sneaky, right? Because she knows that he can read her mind, right? And she goes, he starts doing all this stuff like, I'm giving you the chance to experience something you searched your entire life for. It's the reason you study, blah, blah, blah. I know all this stuff about you. He's using that to try to,
and
like.
It was also unconvincing. I was like, yeah, really?
It was unconvincing.
Really?
But
she's like, searched her entire life.
She was like, I don't need
you. Living a weird castle?
And she's like, I don't need your help I don't need you to help me do that. And then he goes, why do you seem so isolated? You live on a ship filled with your own people, and there's many times you feel alone. Stay with me. I'll teach you ways of sharing thoughts and emotions no human can, which is really fucking creepy. Because so he's like getting more intense, and she's like, I already told you, I'm not cult leader. I'm not interested. And here's where he's like taking the fact that she knows that he can read her mind. He's trying to manipulate her, because he says, you're lying, Hoshi. I can hear everything you're thinking.
That's gaslighting.
Yes, it is.
That's real gaslighting.
Well, he
is trying to manipulate a person who he has currently has power over, and he's trying to trick them using psychological nonsense into doing their bidding. It's not working because Hoshi's not, you know,
It's because she knows that he can read her mind. He thinks he can also sneak in that and make her think, like, question herself and be like, oh, do I really think, is he actually right and I don't know what I think?
It's because this came out before Inception, so Christopher Nolan had not yet settled that philosophical debate
of what
cinematically of incepting an idea into somebody.
Oh,
it's right. It's not a great joke that I just made.
Anyway, look,
there's like a couple people out there will enjoy it.
And like, look, fine, like what you say about gaslighting, I'm not going to argue that it's true or false. I'm just saying I've heard it in the public zeitgeist used without intent.
Jesse, well done, sir. Zeitgeist.
Jesse, I think Dan's trying to gaslight me.
God, now you're just being a dick. But another interesting thing about Tarquin is the actor was played by Maury Sterling.
Yeah.
Do you know what else Maury Sterling was in?
No, I didn't recognize him. I enjoyed his work. I think he did a good job.
It has been too long, little flower.
Oh, wait.
I wish to apologize.
For real? Lord. He played Crazy Ivan?
That's what it says on IMDb. Star Trek Con podcast series, Ivan Voice.
Did you hear me,
Ivan Voice. Crazy Ivan.
I would have liked to have seen his ugly face when you told him to go to hell.
The Star Trek Con podcast,
of course,
was so fucking good. But it was, the Ivan voice was funny.
Do pay that man his money. Yet. I wish to apologize, my lord.
That's a good call. I felt bad. I didn't bother to look this.
I don't want to kill anyone.
This fell up, even though I think he did a good job. Again, with what he was given, it wasn't entirely clear where our sympathies were supposed to lie. Mm. I hope we weren't meant to really sympathize with him in the end, even though he kind of helped out. They did the whole, he's lonely and his parents are assholes. So, I was like, okay.
So here's some Tarquin.
I don't want to kill anyone.
You're trying too hard to find them. It was a privilege.
And then there is...
Did you hear me, woman? You have no right. You abandoned me!
I don't know. They don't sound that similar to me.
Yeah, but...
You mustn't do that. I can hear everything you're thinking.
It was a privilege. Don't be frightened.
It's hard with that.
Yeah.
With such an exaggerated and arch voice. That
because like
they were doing radio drama, so all the accents.
I always forget the guy, the guy who plays Bender's voice in Futurama. He's a famous voice actor. Yes. I forget his name. But like you can kind of always tell his voice is going on.
So, some people can, but other people are, I think, better at differentiating, sort of just, you know.
And so, and I think the guy who played Tarquin, human Tarquin, I think that was Maury Sterling.
Yeah, my understanding was it was the same guy. Yeah. The voice sounded similar.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, the voice sounded exactly the same. I didn't know if maybe they overdubbed it or something, it didn't look like they did. Who knows with some of those crazy people what they do with their shit sometimes? They take their shit and they put it in the toilet and they flush it down.
Yeah. So precisely, I mean, I don't know how you're
John DiMaggio.
DiMaggio.
Yes, thank you, Jesse.
Yeah, Dan was acting out putting the shit in the toilet, but it did not look like how most people. I mean, it's an everyday thing putting the poop in the toilet and you know making it go.
Who was that dude at the end? There was some comm officer. Archer goes, "Open the channel to Ensign Sato." He goes, "Our signal's not getting through, sir. There's some kind of disruption field."
He reminded me of like Joaquin in Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan when he's like, "Our shields are falling," and Khan's like, "Well, raise them." He's like, "I can't." And he like slams his fist on it. I mean, it really wasn't at all the same, but it felt similar.
I'm not gonna put you through this pain, but I paused on during the scene where Hoshi went into the seeing stone and saw like all those images flash by.
Another scene I enjoyed.
I paused on every one of those images. Was very difficult. They started to go by really fast. Yeah. I managed to pause every one, and I wrote a short description of each one. Okay. Wow. I won't go through them because there are about, I counted 51 different images in that fucking thing.
Why don't you post them all? Why don't you do a thread on Blue Sky?
Okay.
And just post each of them. I think that's what you should do.
I think that's a better idea.
That will generate some audience interaction. People like
audio,
like threads, you know, stuff.
And it was so obvious that that was not Archer at the end when he was all as soon as
being Archer. Vocabulary.
As soon as he asked her to stay longer, you knew that was an Archer. And I thought the reason she was going to figure out, the reason she figured out that it wasn't Archer is because he said Travis instead of Trip. But it was because he said Travis at the moment she was thinking about Travis.
Yeah, it was, again, a difficult thing to explain.
Because if it was Data, it would be like Data would have used a contraction or something.
That's how you would know
it's not Data.
It would have been perfectly reasonable, both from in terms of realism and in terms of plot structure, for her to be like, you're obviously not Archer. Like, there didn't need to be any tension of her being fooled. Like, you could have had the exact same scene where the guy's all like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And she could be like, no, you're clearly not Archer. And he's like, no, I'm Archer. Like, I like Walter Polo. I don't remember my Archer voice anymore.
You abandoned me!
Water Polo. Anyway, the part of this episode falls down it doesn't fall down. I think... Okay, let me put it this way. The plot, in order for the plot to be more cohesive, I think it relies on Hoshi being as ridiculously dumb as a lot of the other characters are in this episode with allowing stuff. But Linda Park just didn't play her that way. Mm-hmm. So there's no point where you buy like Hoshi's just like, she's a sensible person. And so every point, like from the beginning all the way through the end, she's just clearly knows what's up. So there's no tension.
She keeps getting weirded out by him, like, at every step of the way. Like, during dinner, she's, like, all enjoying the food. She's like, great job with the food. She was eating, what's that, Hawaiian pizza? That looked like some Hawaiian pizza.
It looked gross. Which is weird. Normally, don't they do it? Because in Carpenter Street, remember they had the pizza in Carpenter Street?
I see the best.
Wasn't that good pizza?
The best movie pizza I've ever seen.
TMNT, 1990, yeah. Well, like, I mentioned that in the Carpenter Street episode.
It looked weird, but, like, it was all based on her memories, which is cool because, like, a memory doesn't have to be, like, really all that real. It's like your idealized shit, so like that was like potentially some really great fucking pizza.
Yeah.
On the other hand,
I didn't even think about that.
To me, it looked gross, and so I like give Hoshi more credit to her imagination of pizzas. Like, hey, this is some gross ass fucking pizza. Sloppy ass macaroni and cheese.
So he kept going too far. So he got all her food right, and she appreciated that. But then he started telling her about like her personal interactions with her grandma when she first learned.
Yeah,
like,
that's too much, dude.
That's when she was like, "Oh, I think I'm going to bed." Yeah. Like he pushed too hard. It happened again when she wanders and sees him with the stone, and she gets all interested in the stone
through the very nice production design weird metal lattice thing.
So, and so she's like that. She's into the stone and he's showing her how to use the stone and she's all intrigued by it. She's like, oh, this is so cool. And then he took it too far. He's like, let me show you how it really works. And he does that thing where the guy gets behind the, yeah, the person that pushes off the golf swing.
And then the woman's like, I'm a professional golfer. Yeah. and so he don't need to give me fucking lessons.
He wraps his hands around her hands and then she's like, oh, what weird, you know? And
weird.
And then when she wanders outside, which is of course where she went because that's where he told her not to go, and he starts like falling all over her emotionally,
and there's graves and lightning and dun dun dun,
and he's like, live with me until you die, I know you so well and nobody's gonna know you as well, and the more more she's like, ew, no thank you, the more he's like, no, you have to, like, and like desperation is not attractive in that situation. So like he just kept pushing it too hard. Now I did have a problem with her sleepwear. Like, when she went to bed, and then when she went out to see the Seeing Stone, she switched to some dress that looked like you could wear it to, like, a cocktail party or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And she was wearing...
Slinky.
She was wearing more lipstick after she was in her sleepwear than she did normally. Like, her lips were all, like, shiny and blinking.
It's a good observation, Dan.
It was
common knowledge in around 2003 that the advice for women who were in a potentially dangerous situation with an unstable, psychic, super powerful man who's trapped them and is threatening them and clearly is interested in them, what you should do is you should go to sleep with a lipstick and a slinky dress on.
And she needed to wear, I guess, footwear to walk around. So she fucking wore high heels. Yeah. I looked, you could hear them, and I looked, she was wearing high heels. Because when she casually strolls around at night with nobody watching, she prefers to do it in high heels. Like, what the fuck is that?
It's peculiar.
It's weird. And she had the glamour hair like Janeway did on that episode. What was the episode where they met the dude,
Eye of the
Romulan?
Needle. Eye of the Needle.
And she, like, they had the beautifully combed, she woke up in brushed glamour hair.
In the middle of the night, she was just gorgeous.
like she was seriously had more lipstick on then than
she did
before.
I think it was the same pajamas that Hoshi wore, come to think of it. It might be. It's very similar.
It's fucking, I can't get over those high heels. That's like the other stuff you can kind of like argue away. It's like, oh, they just did it, you know, the lipstick to make it appear better on film and they just used too much. Fucking high heels.
So look, this is not anything new. Lots of people have discussed it. We've discussed it many times that Enterprise in particular is at an interesting sort of time period for Star Trek. We joke about it, but it is that post September 11th, post Columbine. There's some meaning there, and there's like weird stuff going on in the culture, and so Enterprise did a lot of awesome things, but it's not unusual to also have the weird stuff like the we're gonna have them all oil each other, and like Trip is gonna have a visible erection, and that's just gonna be normal, and you know, of course, like Dan was pointing out, they would find all these reasons to get Hoshi and T'Pol into like slinky dresses and sexual situations. And the thing is this, the issue is not like being sexy or whatever. Like, being sexy is fun and all that. Part of it is when it's always about, right, the women, which Enterprise, again, that was in that period where they're like, you know what, we'll make it better by also sexualizing men. It's like, you didn't, that's not necessarily the message, but the sexiness is
you can't do that, can you?
The sexiness is not necessarily a problem. The issue is the male, the quote unquote the male gaze, not a male gaze. A male gaze can be fine, but the quote unquote the male gaze is cinematic language that's been developed over more than 100 years to really be like, here's a shortcut to be like, I want to fuck this lady. And it's...
You mustn't do that.
I get it, but there's like different ways to point the camera where you can be like, I want to fuck this lady, as opposed to like, I want to fuck this lady. It's a nuanced difference. We're really not the podcast to discuss it, but I think that this episode was an example of that, where at the one point it was a strong, independent female character standing up for herself, doing the right thing and having skills and talent to solve her own problems. On the other hand, it was, she's like casually reading a book, like in a nightgown and wearing high heels on a bed unnecessarily.
I wanted to know what was in that book. I want to know more about that book. The nobody ever apologized to her for disregarding like her when they found out that what she was seeing was real. Yeah, nobody apologized for gaslighting her accidentally.
Because these dudes.
Nobody apologized for unintentionally gaslighting her.
They were like, there was nothing to apologize for.
I bet when Tarquin was looking at that stone and she came in and she's like, "Have you found anything out about the Zindi yet?" He was like, "Not yet." I bet he totally had, and he was just hiding from her. Like everything he said was a fucking lie. He's a total sneak. Sneak to the max, man.
Gave him a little information at the
space
end.
Space sneak.
We should end this. What should we do?
Okay,
what should we do? We don't want our podcast to be exiled.
By the way, when we went to break, you said exile. You didn't say exiled when we went to break last.
No, the episode is exile. It's not exiled.
It's exiled.
No, it's exile.
No, it's exiled.
Exile.
I thought it was exile.
I think it's exiled.
Okay. No.
Right. We're going to make a call.
I think you're wrong.
Audible here and look it up. Enterprise Exile. I just typed in EIL and it came up with end of life. Nope, I didn't want that. Enterprise EIL. I should back
it's you. Exile, like I said.
No.
No, that's not what you said.
Okay, see, the audience is now getting a very good example of actual gaslighting.
No, that's what I said.
Yes, it's exile.
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's what I said.
I don't know what you said, but I know I said exile.
All right, then we're
maybe you misheard
agreement.
Me. Right. You might have misheard. Maybe your something was in your ears or all something. Right. But they did this thing. No. Oh, can you blow your nose a little bit more, Jesse?
The only solution is for me to
I can
to give Dan my fortune and possibly sleep with him.
What?
You were going to play something? What was my own?
What?
they did this thing.
What?
Check,
in the butt?
Check it out. Do you remember when they did this?
Approximately 75,000 kilometers.
Might as well be 75,000 light years.
What kind of bullshit is that?
I don't know.
75,000 kilometers. Might as well be 75,000 light years.
I know. Like,
that's so much more.
How dramatic does this guy have to be?
I know. Like, he could have just said, like, might as well be, like, 70... It might as well be one light year. Might as well be 750,000 kilometers. You were not even using... Or might it be,
those were good extemporaneous alternatives.
Absolutely,
or maybe you could have said, might as well be 150,000 kilometers. Yeah. It doesn't have to be the same number.
Yeah.
You've given three examples. Would you maybe give us three more?
75,000 kilometers. Might as well be 75,000 miles. 75,000 kilometers. Might as well be 250 kilometers. 75,000 kilometers. Might as well be... A million kilometers. I almost couldn't get that third one.
Okay. So
the audience at home, that was close.
Look, the audience at home, you got to understand, we joke around, we're having fun. Dan is, you know, Dan jokes around. He's a professional. He knows what he's doing. He looked pretty fucking panicked right there. It was like a rare moment where Dan was looking at me, he's like, I don't know what to say. A million. All right. That means it's time to end.
Where is Captain Archer?
We hope you enjoyed what we had to say this week. Lower energy, calmer. We'll be back with a proper episode in a couple of weeks. I don't know what we'll be discussing.
Better hope so.
We'll figure that out. We'll put it on our
maybe it's a movie.
Put it on our social media. We'll let you know.
You've let your fear of the unknown stand in your way far too many times.
Send us emails. Feedback.
You abandoned me!
Feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. At itsgotstartrek on all the, you know, whatever, the useful socials.
The snarps
are.
And the darps with the lippy lippy larps.
You know, Facebook, YouTube, as I mentioned each and every week. If you wouldn't mind subscribing to YouTube, even if you don't listen to us there, that is just helpful to us. YouTube's a good one. And, you know, what else? Oh, yeah. If you write a review... Dan will write a haiku for you.
I'm the only one on board that you can play your tricks with.
Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids.
Oh.
It's an old cereal slogan. Maybe it's still in effect. I don't know. Tricks.
In effect.
Tricks. It's Trix is one of those American cereals that's illegal in much of the world. And and everyone's like, ha, 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 ha. No, it's for real.
All the kinds of food coloring are illegal.
Like Fruit Loops. You can't buy that shit in reasonable places. Anyway, yes, what was it? Tricks are for kids, email, YouTube.
I need to open up the circuit houses
haiku,
on the undercarriage.
Write a review for a haiku. Dan will make a haiku. All right.
F-U.
I think we got all the main things. Well,
poo-poo.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
It was a privilege knowing you.
This is great, but I am pretty tired.
I'll see you both in the morning.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone!
You know how to reach me.
Did you enjoy the ending?
I suppose you believe you're dealing badly with stress.
It's not a good sign when you start to see things that aren't there.
That's a matter of opinion. To Nobula, when a person under stress hallucinates, it's considered healthy. A harmless way for the subconscious to release nervous energy. I've always envied those who had that facility. I tend to keep too much bottled up inside.